But we are going to read from Colossians 2, starting at verse 6. Colossians 2, starting at verse 6. It says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are also destined to perish with use, are based merely on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining the sensual indulgence. Okay, I think I said... So if you've got any questions on that I don't cover today, then please feel free to answer them. I think I said a while back that, you know, Paul writes very in-depth, dense kind of stuff, you know. And that's why preachers often take a letter, which is like this letter, which is Colossians, which you could probably read in about 15 minutes if you read it out loud. They sort of take a whole year to preach on it and get really into the nitty-gritty. I'm not going to do that. I'll kind of take a little bit more of an overview. But, yeah, there's a lot in that. But I'm just going to pick up on this. There's a kind of Paul plays off two things, one against another here, and I'm just going to pick up on that today. So my observation, and I think Paul's observation is the same, is that people like rules. People like rules. They like structure. They like order. People tend to feel more secure when you have a black and white sort of yes or no, correct or incorrect, right or wrong. People want a straightforward answer. They want to know what's right. They want to know what to believe. They want to know how to behave. They want a definable, measurable kind of statement. You can say this is the standard, or this is the right thing, and everything else is wrong, or this is the way to do it. So we can then, but I think why people like that is because then they can measure themselves and say, well, okay, I'm doing all right. Or they can look around and they can say, she's not doing so well. Yeah, oh, he's doing amazingly, but this guy. And we like to do a bit of judging. Anyone do a bit of judging? Oh, no.
Yeah, well, I'm being honest.
Yeah, exactly.
We
judge because we like our yes and no, and our right and wrong, and our this is right and that's not right, and all that kind of thing. And I think people struggle with general principles. You're like, well, it's, you know, follow this kind of way rather than... I've had people come up to me and say, Now, Richard, I just want to know what to believe. I don't want you just to sort of say, you know, this is the way of Jesus and sort of walk in it. I want you to just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. So here's a law for life. Here's a what to do. I'm reading from the beginning of this reading. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. There you go. A clear directive on life. Got it? There's your... very different. I'll read it again. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Easy. I'm sure we all know how to do that. Everyone's gone quiet now. No one's nodding. No, everyone's kind of like, okay. What's that mean? I think that's quite an open statement, isn't it? To continue to live your life in Christ? Oh, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean I go to church? What does that mean? I pray a bit? Well, I mean, how does that work? Rooted and built up in him? Does that literally mean I sort of start digging down and planting myself? I mean, what does that mean? What does it mean? It's difficult to pin that down, isn't it? It's not just 10 rules for life. Just follow these rules. It's kind of, following the way of Jesus. It's difficult. But Paul says this. He basically, it says elsewhere in the scripture that Jesus is a new and living way. He's a living way. And Paul compares Jesus, who he says is the fullness of the deity, in whom we are to continually live our lives, and he compares it with what he calls hollow and deceptive philosophies, doesn't mince his word there, which depend on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces. So there are human, man-made traditions, and there's Jesus. There's man-made laws and rules, and there's Jesus. There's black and white, do this, don't do that. You're naughty if you do, you're good if you don't. And there's Jesus. There's way to judge. There's ways to judge people, and we can. And then there's Jesus. And sometimes you might think, well, those kind of things fit together, don't they? Well, maybe they do. Maybe they do. But Jesus is a living way. It's not just a set of rules. And we'll see later. Jesus goes beyond that. See, in Bible times, there were these sort of man-made traditions. There was a whole lot of traditions that are developed. And if you did these things, you were seen as good. And if you didn't do those things, you were seen as not so good. Or the don't touch this. If you don't touch that, you're all right. But if you do touch it, things are not going well. And so some of the examples that Paul gives us is that depending on what you drank or didn't drink, you were seen as clean or unclean, you know, or what you ate. That was a big thing as well. If you eat certain things, you're okay. If you don't eat those things, you're okay. If you do eat some other things, and it just got really kind of finickety. Is that the right word? Is that okay? Thank you. Yeah, got my vocabulary. My children chastise me on my lack of English vocab and knowledge of nouns and pronouns and this. I don't know. Other things is that whether they kept religious festivals, whether they had kept the Sabbath or went to the different and kept the different festivals, or yes or no, are you in or you're out? There were rules on what you could handle, what you could taste, what you could touch. Basically, there was a lot of human-made rules and traditions to prove your spiritual worth. And Paul calls these actually a shadow of things to come. I love that. Yeah, maybe they're all right. I don't know. Maybe they have some value, but they're just a shadow. Actually, they're just man-made stuff. The reality is in Christ, and we've got Christ now. So you can kind of like, don't worry so much about that. Focus on Christ. He's the new, the living way. He's the way to walk in. Great. Christ is so much greater than the things that that foreshadowed him. And so that was back then. And I started thinking, well, I wonder what our traditions are that we've made up these days. And so here are a few things that and I'd love you to add to this list. Okay, so you can chip in a second. But let me give you a few rules that I've either observed or come across or heard people talk about. So here's this. Christians should not, fill in the blank, Christians shouldn't smoke. I'm not saying smoke, children. I'm not saying smoking's good, all right? I'm just saying that somewhere somebody wrote a rule that Christians shouldn't smoke or have tattoos or drink. Not water, I'm talking about, you know, something a bit stronger. Everybody should drink, right? Water. But somewhere, you know, that made the, you know, as if like Jesus turned water into wine, but then just said, well, just said, look at that. Don't drink it. You know, that's not good for you. You know, or Christians on a Sunday. Sunday's a big thing for Christians, isn't it? Shouldn't work, shouldn't shop, shouldn't have fun.
I was told once that I shouldn't do my gardening on a Sunday because somebody walked past who I went to church with.
Okay.
When I lived in Old Woking, and we were doing the front garden, and they said to me, you shouldn't be doing the front garden on a Sunday because that's working.
Only the back garden. And this is where we get into it. It's like, oh no, not the front garden. So back garden's okay because nobody can see that. That's all right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We shouldn't listen to pop or rock or jazz. Only Christian music. You know, anyone heard that? You know, really only should be listening to Christian music. You should avoid sinful places like pubs and clubs and betting shops and things. Jesus would have just stayed at home. If, you know, imagine. I mean, he wouldn't have gone anywhere. Where was he hanging out?
With
pubs and clubs. Yeah, the pubs and clubs of the day, really. But we're not allowed to do that because we're Christians. People should obey the pastor. Or we should go to every single church meeting available. You know, like you have to be there every single time, or you've got to wear your Sunday best. Yeah, these are funny things that we've got. Yeah, or you've got to have your quiet time. And if you don't have your quiet time, you aren't really a Christian. Because Jesus is all about being just quiet. Now, I'm not saying necessarily, that, like I said, going back to the smoking, I'm not saying that any of those things are bad, all right? You know, but... What did I say? Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. I'm not necessarily saying that I'm saying that they're not bad ideas. They're not bad ideas.
No, you sound like you're not saying smoking is bad.
Oh, what am I saying? Smoking is bad. All I'm saying is, yeah.
It's not bad to have a day of rest.
Yeah, exactly.
But you shouldn't go around to church members then. You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, let's not make it into a rule. Yeah. Because, and here's the thing, rules don't transform you. They just mark us as right and wrong, really. Rules don't transform you. They may give an outward appearance of like a fake purity. And you may think, well, I can tick all those things off. I don't do my gardening on a Sunday, actually, Wendy. Look at me.
Do you do gardening
at all? Yeah, all right. Good point. Touche. Though I pay somebody else to do that on a Sunday. No. But we can have that appearance, can't we? That we can get all those things, all our ducks in a line, and we can wear our Sunday best. And we can, I'm not saying, well, if you want to wear Sunday best, that's fine. But, you know, we can give this appearance of being a good Christian. Well, actually, I think it's actually just a good middle class thing, really, in our society, if I'm honest. We give that appearance, and actually also that comes across as being quite judgmental as well, because then you start looking around and saying, oh, well, what are they wearing, or what have they done or haven't done, or, you know, just somebody's got a tattoo, or something. Oh my goodness, you know. By the way, if you live in this town, you're just going to have to get used to that. It's just the way it is. It won't change you. All this stuff doesn't change you. It's just outward stuff. It doesn't, Paul says, it doesn't change or restrain the sinful nature, basically, inside you. So what's different with this whole Jesus thing? Instead, we're called to follow a new and living way, the way of Christ. The way of Christ isn't a set of rules to follow so much. They're the shadow of what is to come, which is Jesus. So, for instance, in the Old Testament it says, don't commit adultery and don't murder. There's a couple of the Ten Commandments. Won't do all of them. We'll just stick with those two. I mean, those are black and white statements. Don't commit adultery, don't murder. And most of us probably can tick that off and say, okay, done that. Maybe not. But a lot of people can say, well, I've passed the test. I don't need to worry now. I'm sorted. Ten Commandments sorted or whatever. And maybe then we can shake our heads at some people that haven't passed the test and have failed, if you want to put it that way, on those things. But you see what Jesus does in his new and living way is he takes these commands and he says, okay, yeah, all right, adultery. Yeah, you say, well, okay, I haven't slept with somebody else. But what's going on inside? He says, if you look at somebody lustfully, you've committed adultery. It's like the same thing. And you know, the thing is, that's going to be an ongoing thing. That's going to be a challenge forever and ever. That's not just going to be a, like, have I done it, haven't I done it? Because it's going to be a struggle forever. And the same with murder. I'm guessing nobody's committed murder in the room, physically. I might be wrong. I have been. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. But Jesus said, it's not about that, actually. Okay, so maybe you haven't stabbed anyone, but what's the anger like in your heart towards somebody? And if you're angry towards them, you've pretty much killed them in your heart. And that's just as bad. And that's going to be an ongoing thing as well, because I don't know about you, but people start to niggle you kind of every day. So you've got that challenge of, well, I'm committing murder almost every day on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis, sometimes even minute by minute basis, depending on the situation you're in. And so that's the new and living way. It's much more than just sort of 10 rules, I've followed that, sorted, I'm all right. And what that does is it causes us continually to need Jesus' grace. Because we can't do that. I think we soon realise, like, oh my goodness, I've just killed 4 people. You know, and I've just committed adultery 3 times and all I did was going to church. And it's like, goodness me, how did that work? You know, and what it's saying is, I need God's help. Always. I'm never completely perfect, but also I'm never completely condemned. Because I'm always being renewed and being transformed by his love, by his grace, by his forgiveness. This is a new and living way. It's not just a set of rules. It's a whole life. So I read it again. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So Christianity isn't really following a set of rules as such. It's more a life study of Jesus, studying Jesus, looking at Jesus, looking at the way he does things and saying, okay, I'm going to walk in that. It's not really learning commands so much. It's more studying him, imitating him. And to imitate someone, you need to get to know them and to find out their characteristics and their mannerisms and their motivations and their passions and their values. And the better you know them, the more likely you're going to be able to imitate them. So if for some strange reason you thought, I want to be a Richard. I mean, some of you may have thought that. Yeah. So you could say, right, well, here's some rules. You could think, right, okay, well, you've got to have taken 11 GCSEs by the time you're 16 and take music a year early. And one of them needs to be a pass in PE. Yep, thank you. You need to have played for the Queen. At least twice. I think it was twice. It might have been 3 times. I can't even remember. You need to have been... Well, exactly. Oh, profound point there. Exactly. So now we start. Now, when we've got our rules, we start to realise that this isn't actually going to be achievable. Good point. So I could give you a list of things that I've done, and then you, or just sort of things, and you say, "You okay? I'm going to do that." Or stand a bit of chance if he wants to be a me. Weird, but if you did, maybe if you just spent a bit of time with me, you might become as hilarious as I am. See, it works. See? No, maybe not. You know, or you might just start to say, okay, well, I can understand now why Rich does that, because I've heard a bit of the story why this happens and what happened earlier in his life and why he has to keep doing this. You know, why I faff around going this, that and the other. And you might understand me a bit better, and then you might think, well, now I know how to be like that. You may not become exactly like me, but it'll start to rub off. Does that make sense? It'll become a bit more intuitive and a bit more instinctive because you've studied me. Who would want to do that? But do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we come back to Christ. We can't just learn a set of rules. But it's much better to gaze at Christ. To gaze at Christ and say, okay, right, That's impacting me. To study his movements and the way he says things and how he says things to people, and to really observe keenly his interactions and his, just soak it in. So it rubs off on us. That we would continue to, our lives would be rooted in him. Because Jesus is a living way. And he takes us beyond rules. It's a continual refining. It's a continual transformation. It's not a pass or a fail. I'd like to say we've all passed, because that's, you know, that'd make you all feel good, wouldn't it? But it's not actually all about that. Because you haven't all failed either. Take it one way or the other. But it's just a continual mercy. It's a continual grace. We all always need more mercy. One of the prayers, you know, I pray the Jesus prayer. And I've spoken about this in the past, but Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a great prayer to pray every day, every minute, really, because all the time I'm realizing I need Jesus' mercy. But all the time I'm living in Jesus' mercy. This is great. And ultimately, that's a way of freedom from man-made rules and false spirituality. And they're kind of like, well, you look the right thing. You're not doing your gardening on a Sunday. Yeah, okay. That's a little bit more than that, isn't it? It's a little bit more than that. Like Brian said, maybe Jesus wanted to teach us something about rest. And maybe that happens on a Sunday, but maybe you might want to do that on a different day. I don't know, but maybe just there's something deeper about it. It's not just a case of whether you're doing your gardening or not. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you've been brought to fullness. So we're going to break bread in a second. Cherry's going to lead us in that. But before we do that, I just want to offer just a moment. At the end of a documentary, sometimes they say, if you've been affected by any of the issues in this program, please call this number. But some of this, you may have thought, oh, do you know what? Somebody said to me a while back that you need to do X, Y, and Z to be a Christian. And actually, I'm realizing that's difficult. And it takes a while for it to get out of the system. By the way, I'm not saying we all go out and have a cigarette and start drinking really heavily in the foyer at the end of the church. You know, I'm not saying that, all right? But let's learn the way of Christ together. But if there are things that you think, yeah, that's really, really hindered me, actually. I mean, I've spoken to people who have passed. The thing about quiet time. Some of us find it very easy to have a quiet time. You know, what I mean by that is like a, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour in the morning where you pray. And some of us have to get to work. I'm not including myself in that, obviously. You know. But then some of us feel condemned because we didn't have our half an hour quiet time before we had to get on a train at 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, what does Jesus say about that? He says, well, just walk with me. You know, if you don't mind me, I'm using Wendy as an example. I know that Wendy does a bit of her praying as she's walking to go and get a horse down across the field, you know. Is that a quiet time? Well, not traditional. It's not proper quiet time, you know. And you can get really content. But no, she's spending time with Jesus, living with Jesus. This is what it's about. This is what it's about.
Actually, I was just going to say, you'll be surprised what he actually points out to you just by
living with him.
Walking with him. Yeah. Yeah.
Literally walking with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you have a quiet time and it works for you, that's fantastic. But don't. If there's anyone here that feels condemned that every day... When we had children, same kind of thing. Louise and I used to have quite a regimented routine, I suppose, when we were on, didn't have children. But then you have children, and you think, they start crying at certain times of the morning. You can't start having a quiet time when there's somebody crying next to you in a cot. It just doesn't work. Any mothers out there know that, right? It's just like, it doesn't work anymore. So don't get condemned because of this rule, you know, because it's just a man-made thing, which could be helpful in some situations. But Christ is the reality. Is that making sense?
Yes.
Oh, we might have a question. I like it. Or an observation. Go for it.
Yeah.